here on the bottom of Cafe Almond Base, the two dots, four lines from the bottom of the page. Okay, so the Mishnah had talked about the final case of the Mishnah was that there was a Maisa story that happened, Shachalot Beinala Beina, the Beis HaAsurim, and there was two, you know, a man and a woman, and they did Chalitza, sounds like just on their own, in a prison. Uba Maisa and Rebbe Kiva, Behechshir. And the story came in front of Rebbe Kiva, and he said it was fine. So the Gemara says, Beinala Beina Biyadana, if it was happened between him and her, and there's nobody there, then how do we know that it even happened? Right? Where does the information even come from? So Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Ve'edim Ro'en Osam Bachutz. No, they were, you know, where they were, but there were two, and they were by themselves in a certain sense, but they were Edim who were standing outside of the jail, and they saw what happened. So Amr says, but wait a second, Ibailahu Maisa Shachaltu Beinol Beina Avrai, right, was that the Maisa happened between the two of them outside of the prison, Uba Maisim here Rikiva Bebes HaSurin, and then the story was told to Rikiva when he was in prison. Al Dilma Maisa Shachaltu Beinal Beinav Bebes HaSurin, or is the story that happened that they, again, that the story happened in the Bebes HaSurin? Where does this, you know, question come from? Because it's not totally clear if you read the language of the Mishnah, was Maisa Be'echad Shachalts Beinal Beinav Bebes HaSurin, and then Ba Maisim here Rikiva. Not everyone has that vav. So meaning that you could read it as, there's a story where they were chalatz b'nol b'na, and then those words, b'beit ha'asurin, does that go on where they were? Right, that the story happened b'beit ha'asurin, or do we say, b'beit ha'asurin b'ma'asim Rebbe Akiva? Right, or that the in the jail, the ma'asim came to Rebbe Akiva. So which one was it? So Avri Huda Marav, b'beit ha'asurin haya ma'asa, ulu b'beit ha'asurin b'ma'asa. That the story happened in prison, and the story came to him in prison. If you're wondering when was Rebbe Akiva in prison, so the Tosfos actually talks about the Tosfos through Rashi Uba, the bottom Tosfos here on the bottom of the page, actually talks about it. He points at this point with the Vav also, and if you take a look, three lines from the bottom of the page, all the way at the end of the line, Ve'yesh Lomar. So Tosfos writes Ve'yesh Lomar, Diodeya Hagamara Shabala Fanu Beis HaSurin. The Gemara actually knows already that the story came to him when he was in jail. Kid Amr Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yochanan Asanlar Avar Kumi Chavushin. Right there, Rabbi Yochanan Asanlar went by people who were in prison. Rabbi Akiva Haya Machriz VaAmar Man by Mechtin Umay by Tsinurin. And Rabbi Akiva was in jail presumably because he was teaching Torah, and he would say, "Who needs needles? Who needs pipes? Chalza Benel Bena Mahu." Right, and then someone said, "What would happen if Chatzal bin Labena?" And Adiklereshe min Kavasei Amalei Islacha Kushin Islacha Kasher. He was calling things out. Oh, you have Kushin. Oh, is it Kasher? Meaning he was saying it's Kasher. So there was a way of like kind of speaking in code language while they were even in scenarios where they were in prison for teaching Torah. And that's the story that we're talking about. Fine. So the bottom line is that the Gemara seems to say, or says, that Beinah Beinah, the story was, that was kosher, as long as there were two Eidim there. So Tanur Rabbanan, and so we'll have to see where we go from that, but that sounds like at least what the Mishnah seems to be referring to. So Tanur Rabbanan, now we're at the top of Kufa Manal. Chalitza Mutas Kshera. A chalitza that is, we'll call it, bent in a certain direction. It's kind of like, you know, it's not totally forced, but it's, you know, there's some trickery going on. We'll see in a second as we, you know, there's some false assumptions maybe. So, Ezi Chalitza Mutas. What does that mean, Chalitza Mutas? Amir Shlakish, Kol Sha'omim Lo Chalutz, Ubekach Ata Konsa. You tell the guy, if you do this, you'll be married. Okay, we know Chalitza is the opposite of getting married, right? So, you tell the guy, do Chalitza, and then you'll be married. So, Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan, I taught Ben Shiniskavin who, Vlonis Kavnahi, Ben Shiniskavnahi, Vlonis Kavin who, Chalitzas Apsula. I chis Kavnu Shinayem Ke'echad. Vat Amris Chalitzas Aksheira. I mean, we said I taught already that you need both of them to have Kavana for Chalitza. And you're telling me that you could tell him if you do this, she'll be married to you when you're really trying to come, where Chalitza can accomplish the opposite? How is the Chalitza Aksheira in such a case? So now, rather, what's the case? What's the case? The case is that you told him, do chalitza on the condition that we're going to give you 200 zuz. So we're going to give you that, if he makes that, you know, you make that statement to him and you tell him do it on that condition, he does it anyways, with only the assumption he's doing it so that he'll get paid. So then that works. Look at Rashi. Top Rashi on the page. Right, even though you're not going to pay him. Chalitza sakshev. The chalitza will be good. And the Gemara is going to explain this as we move along. And why is this? Says Rashi, the mefurish b'ksubis b'hamadir. The Gemara b'ksubis explains. They call Tanai b'nei Gad b'nei Ruvain gamrinan tana. So there's a whole conversation in Shas about Tanaim in general, when you make a condition on a deal, that we learned that the ideas of Tanai from the Tanai B'nai Gav B'nai Reuven came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said they wanted to live on the other side of the Yarden, and Moshe Rabbeinu is furious at them, and he basically says, he makes this whole condition with them, if you're going to come, you're going to fight, and you'll lead everybody in battle, etc. So then eventually you can go back and live on the other side of the Yarden. But if you don't, then you can't. So there's all these ways, all these specific details about how that Tanai was made. It's doubled, it's made, you know, if you do and if you don't. And we learn all these halachos of Tanai from that case. But one of the things that we learn is that you can only make a Tanai, you know, that a Tanai that works is only a Tanai. So now Rashi says, Garmin and Tanai she'ef shalahasnos ayde shaliach she'asa Moshe Yeshua shaliach la'seitz lehemetz ayres ha'gilad. Have a Tanai Tanai. So one of the rules we learn about Tanaim is Tanai only works is if it's something that can be done Ayde Shaliach. Because Moshe Rabbeinu made Yoshua Shaliach to make sure this was going to happen. So one of the halachos of Tanai that we learn from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven is that a Tanai only works if it's something that can be done Ayde Shaliach. V'chol Tanai to lo efshal lasos Ayde Shaliach kegon chalitza ein Tanai mo'ava v'zehu tamo shal davar. Right, but a Tanai on something that cannot be done, Ayde Shaliach, doesn't work. So Chalitza cannot be done by somebody else. You can't have someone else go do Chalitza on your behalf. Chalitza has to be done by the individual himself, by both of them. So since that's true, the Tanai doesn't work. So when you tell him, do Chalitza amanas, right, on Tanai, then I'm going to give you 200 Jews, and then he does it, and then he says, okay, pay my money. You say, I'm not going to give you money. He says, what do you mean? That was a condition. And he says, yeah, conditions don't work when it comes to Chalitza. So that's why the Tanai works, because the Tanai is, you know, not, he intends to do the Chalitza, his Kavana is still there to do Chalitza, but he did it with a certain condition, but that condition is Batel. It doesn't mean anything, and therefore the Chalitza works. That's what's called Chalitza Mutas, says the Gemara. Okay. And continues the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hachi, Chalitza Mutas Kasherah, right? That, again, Chalitza Mutas is Kasher. Right, that this is the definition is this exact case. You say do chalitza amanas that I'm going to pay you 200 zuz. Umayitza beisha achas. There's a certain woman shenafla lifnei yavam she'ein hagunla. She fell. She became a yavama to a man who was not appropriate for her. Va'amrulo, and they said to him chalutz la amanas shetidin lechamasayim zuz. And they told him do chalitza and we'll pay you 200 zuz. Ubam ma'aser lifnei Rabbi, and clearly didn't pay him. Ubam ma'aser lifnei Rabbi Chiya ve'echshira, and Rabbi Chiya had this case come in front of him, and he said it was fine, no problem, it works fine. So you have a brace that supports this definition of chalitza mutas and the fact that it's kosher when it happens. Okay, another story. Ahu da asla kamed Rabbi Chiya barab. Someone came to Rabbi Chiya baraba amala, and they said, and he said to her, "Bt." So the woman came to him for chalitza, and he said to her, "Bt amudi." He said to her, "Stand up." So amrlei ima yeshivasa zu hi amidasa. Basically, he says to her, "Stand up," meaning stand up to do yibum. And her mother says to him, actually, her sitting, meaning her refusal to do yibum, is going to be her standing. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Biti amodi, amud amodi vitsyabni lo. Stand up and do yibum. So yeshivas. So she says, the mother says, no yeshivas mi hisyabim lo. Her refusal, her staying seated, zuhi amidasa, zuhi takanta. That's going to be good for her. Meaning she doesn't want to do yibum. She wants to do chalitza. Okay. So amr la. So he says to her back in the Gemara, amr la. Rechia Baraba said to her, Yeah, the afterlife. Do you know anything about him? Like, do you know this? You know, you're refusing him because there's something about him that you know that's no good. Rashi says, "Adatle makeresi bo shum davar gana." You know something about him that's you know not so positive. So Amrlei in, yeah, she says, "I do." Mamono hu dechazala v'kabay lemichlei mina. He sees my money and he wants to, you know, he wants to take it. He wants to inherit it and use it up. That's what he wants to do. Rashi says, "Davar zeh hi yodas bo she'ein baliyama elakadi lecho v'lichlos mamona ulagarsha." He wants to take her money and use it up, and then he's going to divorce her. So he sees that he's a greedy guy, and the only reason he's interested in Yibum is because he wants to inherit her. Okay, so Amar la lo licha lecha. So he says to her, "This is not good for you. You don't want him." So she says, "So Amar la lo, yeah, I'm not interested." So Amar la chalutz la ubakacha takonza. So he said to the guy, "So do chalitza with her, and that way you will marry her." Okay, the case that we said already was rejected. The thing you're not supposed to say. So the boss of the chalutz la Amar la. After he did that, he said to him, "Hash de minach if sulala chalutz la chalitza ma'ayasa kihecha de tishri la'ama." So he said to him at that point, he said, "Look, you did a chalitza, and your chalitza was you thought you were marrying her, but that's not really happened. You did chalitza, and now that you've done it." Now do a real chalitza and allow her to be permitted to the world. So what does that mean? The implication is that the original chalitza that he did at that time, when he said to him, you know, do chalitza and you'll marry her, so that somehow passes her at least from being married to him. And he says now that that's done, so he says to him, look, bottom line is now what you just did, it passes her to you. You didn't realize it. You thought you were marrying her. He's like, hey, what gives? I thought I was marrying her. Sorry, you didn't. Actually, what you did was you passed her for you, right? But now that happened, now do me a favor, do a regular chalitza, and now with kavana, meaning to actually to free her, and that'll work. So you see there a little different, right? At this point, you see that this you know chalutza v'kacha takonza, we still passing that doesn't work as a full chalitza, but there's some implication here that Rabbi Chiya believed that doing it at least could start the process along, at least passing her to the Yavam. You know, it's an interesting point. Like, you know, he could have run away at that point and then she'd be really stuck, right? But at least he felt, and he has to know, like, right, sociologically, it's always the question in these cases, getting things like this, you know, sociologically, what's going to happen for the person, right? But maybe here, by the fact that he, you know, that the guy realizes he's now passing to her, fine, so he'll just go ahead and do the chalitza already, because this person wants to keep the halacha, he wants to do the right thing. So once he's been told that she's psula to him, so he says, you know what, I'll go ahead and I'll do the chalitza. Okay, next case. Bas chamua de Rav Papa. This was Rav Papa's, the daughter of Rav Papa's father-in-law. So I guess not his son, his sister-in-law, but, you know, his father-in-law's daughter. Nafla lifnei yibam. Yabam she'en hagulna. Again, she fell to a yabam who was not appropriate for her. So asla kamei di abaye. So they came in front of abaye. Amalei. Chalutzla ubakachat takonza. Same thing. He used the same language. He told her, "Okay, so do chalitza with her, and you'll marry her." So Amalei Rav Papa lo savala mar lahad amri Yochanan. Don't you hear Rav Yochanan said it doesn't work, right? They need to have kavana. It's not going to do anything. So he says, "Fine." So elahecha emala. Okay. So if I'm wrong, what should I say? Amalei chalutzla manashat hitin lachamasayim zuz. You know, you're supposed to tell him to do chalitza, and amanas you'll pay him. You get him to do it that way. Okay. The boss of the chalitza, after he did chalitza, Amrla zil havle. So after he did chalitza, Abaye said, "Okay, so now pay him the 200 zuz." Right? I mean, he's just following the directions, right, that our prophet told him. So Abaye said, "Okay, so now you're supposed to pay him the 200 zuz." Amrla, Rav Papa, mishatani b'cha Abdullah. No, you're talking about. No, I told you should tell him to say that, but you're not really gonna have to pay him. Rather, he's gonna say it was a joke. I was kidding with you, basically. What do you mean? Milotan, we have a price that says harishaya boreach and beisas. When your person is running away from prison, right? This is presumably a prison that was like not appropriate. Person's not really shouldn't really be a prisoner. Right? Was gonna be imprisoned by the government for something he didn't do. V'hayis or not appropriate to be imprisoned for. V'hayis ma'abra lefanav, and there's some type of, you know, a river or something in front of him, he needs to pass across. Va'amalei, and he says, and there's a you know, a ferry driver there. So va'amalei tul dinar v'hevirani, take a dinar and cross the river for me. You know, drive me across. So ain lo ela schara, meaning to get the other side. And he says, okay, pay up. He goes, well, I'm not going to pay a dinar. A dinar is a lot. I'll pay whatever the usual price is, whatever, a buck, whatever it's supposed to cost for the ride. So Alma, Armalei, Meshate Nibacha. So you see that in that case, you can say to him, look, I was just exaggerating. I was joking. I wasn't serious. I just wanted you to do it. But I don't actually owe you that amount of money. Why? The Rishonim point out, because it doesn't really cost that much. Right? The dinar is not the amount of money it actually costs to be, you know, to be transported across the river. So the fact that he exaggerated and offered to give him so much extra money, that's not something that we care about, and he doesn't have to pay it. But and why was he telling him that? Because he wanted to get him to do what he wanted to do. He needed to escape. So hachanami mishatani bacha, hachanami mishatani bacha. Same thing here, that he's allowed to, you know, she's allowed to say that. Meaning, presumably, she wants a chalitza. She's nervous he's not going to give it to her. So she exaggerates. And she says, I'll pay. Chalitza shouldn't cost any money. She should do it for free. Right? So that, in fact, that he goes ahead and she exaggerates and says, I'll give you all this money. The guy says, great, no problem. And he does it and he intends it. So it works. But what about the money she has to pay? She never had to pay that money. That was not something that she's required to pay. But it was just kind of a kunz to get him to do what she wanted him to do. So Amalei Avuchaicha. So that's what happened. Fine. So Rav Papa kind of taught Abaye all the way through how to do the right thing. So Amalei Avuchaicha. So Rav Papa says, so Abaye, you know, Abaye now says to Rav Papa, where's your father? Amalei B'masa, he says, in the city. Imchaicha, where's your mother? Amalei B'masa, also in the city. Yavu Enei V'shchivan. So what happened? So Abaye looked at his parents, and they died. So it's kind of a strong response to being kind of embarrassed by what happened. That basically Abaye felt like Rav Papa, you know, one-upped him, and what, so he killed his parents. It doesn't really seem to make sense. So the Rishonim pointed out he didn't kill his parents, but he you know realized that the reason Rav Papa has this you know ability to have all this information, knowledge, is because he's Talmid Chacham. There must be someone supporting him, and his parents were supporting him, and he felt like you know it was a shtickle like Ayin Hara. So he felt like, you know, wow, you know, it's so special, an amazing thing that you have, both your parents who are supporting you, et cetera. And then when he looked at them, it sort of like was over the Ayin Hara, and they passed away. But the point being that in the story, that Rav Papa clearly had this information and knowledge was sharper than Abaye, because again, he had this ability to spend time learning. I didn't have to go to work. You know, that's why he was able to have this higher level of knowledge. Okay, we'll stop here.